Time for our next edition of Season Countdown, and it's time to talk about a team that was hard to get a read on last year. They did play finals. They knocked over the Premier Motowari twice, but they also dropped some games that might have cost them a top three finish. They were only a percentage out of third spot, but they also only finished a game clear of sixth place to Ocean Grove. I do speak of Queenscliff, and their coach, Steve Clark, has been good enough to join us. Otis, thanks for your time. Was it a year you reflect on last year and go, gee, we can match it with the big dogs, but we just couldn't do it consistently?
Yeah, I think, mate, probably early in the year, you're getting used to both players getting used to the new coach and coach getting used to new players. And if I look at where we are this time, this year compared to last year, it's just night and day. So I could see that round one coming, just because we didn't have much consistency over the practice matches last year. So it was sort of like the first three games were practice matches because we had a lot missing. But and then when we started to get on a roll and they started understanding a bit of cohesion there, we started to come home pretty hard. So really outside of the Bowen Heads game where we got touched up over there by 100 points or whatever.
It was bang on 100.
Was it?
Yeah, bang on.
There you go. So, outside of that one, and probably round one was disappointing in regards to the result, but I half seen that coming. So for me, we got some good teaching points out of it. So, yeah, look, I thought our best was as good. You know, we couldn't quite bridge the gap with Bowen Heads, but the other guys around us, we obviously knocked off. So
I think it was 17 points the other time you met Bowen Heads, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 17 points at home. They kicked a goal on the siren, but it was a quite wind-affected day that day, so it probably brought them back to us a little bit.
Was there a sense when you did get knocked out by MOs that you missed an opportunity potentially to have a crack? Because obviously they took on Anglesey the following week, who I think you'd beaten not long before that, and then obviously Motowari, who you'd knocked over twice. If you could have got on a roll?
Yeah, definitely. I think, as we say, outside of Bowen Heads, like we only recently knocked off Anglesey, Motowari and MOs, so on the way in. So ideally, to grab that double chance would have given us a bit of a breather to make that mistake. And then the day that we copped in the final was wind affected, and it probably didn't play to our strengths. And the big boys in Lovey and Buck played really well and just sort of out-muscled us a bit.
Should have known from all your experience at Leopold that you were going to cop a day like that.
Yeah, well, that one was an extreme one, but yeah, should have had half an inkling.
Talk to us about, I suppose, the fact that you get Drysdale again round one. There's a sense of theatre with AFL Bowen, I think, when they do the fixturing. They obviously last year, Ben Carmichael joins Queenscliff, being a Drysdale Premiership player, and plays against his old club for the first time. And now round one again, he's gone back to Drysdale and you get them all again. There's somebody there with a sense of the macabre at AFL Bowen headquarters.
Yeah, I don't know whether Limmy does the draw or what there. But, so it'll be good. I mean, clearly old rivals, Queenscliff and Drysdale. When I was growing up, it was always Queenscliff and Drysdale. And so it's a good round one. And, I mean, obviously they've recruited pretty well and everyone wants to talk about them. So we'll just see how we go.
All right. Let's have a look at your list. Not significant change. The two Caseys have departed. Jono obviously spent time with Andrew Hodgson as co-coach of the club, and Jono's going to Thompson to join him. Andrew's back to St. Joseph's. Ben Carmichael, as we alluded to, will go back and finish his career off where it started at Drysdale. And Regan Grimwood's the interesting one. He's been a very good player over the last few years with Queenscliff, but having a crack at a high level with Newtown and Chewell.
Yeah, the three boys that have gone, like the two Casey boys, obviously Jono heading back to Thompson to be with Hodgie, and then Briefy wanting to go back and play with his mates at Joey's. And look, they've been terrific for the footy club, and at some point in time you know that potentially you're going to lose the boys home. I mean, when you're recruiting, you're trying to get your boys back home, and you're playing the heartstrings. So they've been terrific. And then obviously Binger heading back to Drysdale as a one-pointer. So as you're sort of getting towards the end of the career, as Binger said, the points become invaluable in regards to making things work for as a one-pointer. So, and then Riggs,
because he would have still been a four this year?
Three.
He would have been three, okay.
Yeah, so it makes it a little bit tougher as you're getting older. So, obviously he thought long and hard about it, but, and going back to where it all started for him. So you can understand that. And then obviously with Riggs was going to head overseas, and he has obviously always had ambitions to play GFL, and we chatted quite at length about it. And he just thought that potentially if he heads in now, he loses a point, he gets a look at it, and then heads overseas. So he had some friends at Newtown, and obviously they kept in contact with him, and he's going to try his luck in there, yeah.
Okay. All right, let's have a look at what's come in. In terms, you've got a couple returning. Cam Burnside and Alex Simpson have had some time away from footy, but will both play this year. How have they come back in terms of, I suppose, ready to go?
Yeah, they've come back quite well. I mean, Cam's been up in Queensland and played a little bit of quaffle and been involved in the Southern Black Academy and so forth. So he's quite a different-looking lad now than he was when he left. He's been able to put on some muscle and bulked up quite big, so he'll be a slightly different player and potentially can be a key position player. And Simo played his first game on the weekend and looked quite well. So both those boys all ease back into it.
Yep. Is Simpson important? I'm only asking this for what Nick Orvis is potentially doing. There is some talk he may have retired, and is Simpson then going to come in and, you know, hopefully go with a dual combination with Michael Randoni and Simpson as rucks?
Yeah, potentially Simo can play that role. At the moment, Alex Snowden will play that role with Randoni. So Simo will potentially work his way through and
play a few Simpson games. Can play forward as well if you need him to, can't he?
Yeah, 100%. So right now, he's certainly in the mix to be able to play in those key positions.
Yep. Samaries has been a good pipeline over the years. Cormac Cashin, Daniel Dewar, premiership players, and now you touch on Alex Snowden and AJ Davies also come in. You've touched on what Alex will bring. How are you hoping to use AJ?
Well, AJ will play through the midfield and forward. So the great thing about AJ and coaching against him and seeing him, obviously he's very good user of the footy and very smart and hard around the contest. So we're looking forward to that, for him to be able to release guys like Tommy Lim and those guys out of the centre who are dangerous forward as well. So and AJ will be able to play exactly the same role. So it gives us some more variation around, and Matt Craig comes in from St Mary's as well. So Craig has played some good GFL senior footy and hasn't played much over the last couple of years, but he's been superb over the pre-season.
Yep. Jack Exel, I believe there's a bit of a link to Queenscliff, of course, son of Gavin. I believe his brother Jaden's going to play at Leopold, but you got Jack, and he's exciting. He's got some real tricks, like the old man did.
Yeah, no, he's been terrific, mate, and really good. And he had a connection with Niv, so they knew the Niven family. And Jaden I'd known from the days at Leopold. He trained a couple of times. So Jaden was originally looking to potentially come down and play as well, but then looking at Werribee, they were keen for him to be on a GFL list, and obviously Leopold was the logical one there. So, they're both rippers, and Jack will be terrific for us.
Yep. Braden Anwell is a name that's caught my eye. He's been playing up in, I think it's the AFL Capricornia competition with brothers Rockhampton, but he's got some ability, and he's a big boy from what I understand.
He's very tall. Yeah, he's come down from Rockhampton. His grandparents are down here, like the Anwell, so he's got quite a big family. So he's come down and taken up his carpentry apprenticeship down here.
Is he at Clark Holmes or somewhere else?
No, he's not at Clark Holmes. he's somewhere else. But he won the league medal up there that was voted on by the coaches. And he's quite tall, very lean, very tall. But he can play anywhere, really. Like, he's been playing on a wing, playing forward and playing back. So he comes down as a four-pointer because of winning that medal and playing senior footy. So, but he'll be quite valuable for us.
Yep. Where does he line up?
I'm not sure yet, mate. I was just only speaking to Braden on the weekend that we've been throwing him around a little bit. And that's a feather in his cap that, as I say to all the boys, if you're going to be a one-trick pony as such, you're putting a little bit of pressure on yourself. So you've got to be able to play in a couple of roles.
Absolutely. Nathan Peoples, of course, has been a star over a number of years at GFL level with North Shore. You announced him as a recruit in the off-season, but at this stage it looks like he won't play.
Yeah, Nath was keen to come down and committed before Christmas, and he had a lot going on in his life at the time as well. So he was busy at work, and he was going on a trip to Kokoda. He was moving house, so there was quite a few things that were happening for him, and potentially all that come at the wrong time for us, that we broke for Christmas. And then over the Christmas break, he had to think about it. He got a new job, more responsibility. So it was just getting really hard for him with footy. And I think he'd almost already let go before we'd rang him. So he was thinking about retirement, and there's no good trying to force it. Like, we'd love, absolutely love to have him. He's a ripper fellow, leadership, got the whole lot. And if he wasn't, you know, one of the best players in the competition, if not going to be, you know, potentially the best. So a big loss both on and off the ground. But as he said to us, if he gets that urge back again, he'd certainly be playing with Quinscliffe. So I think the best way for us to go around that with him is giving him space, and you certainly don't want to be forcing blokes into doing they don't want to. They'll go backwards. So we'll just wait and see.
You've been busy through the practice match series. You've played two already, one to come, the old Battle of the Rip against Sorrento to wind things up. But what have you taken out of the first two hit-outs you've had?
Yeah, look, St Albans was a surprise one, because we actually had Balan pull out at the last minute. So we played St Albans, which I wasn't sure of in regards to how we'd go there, but we went really, really well. Like, I was quite surprised in the way that we moved the footy and the connection we had inside and outside. Stoppage is what we've been working on. So that was really good showing there. And then we played Mulgrave on the weekend at Deakin. So even though it was big round and hot, their form continued. So there was a lot to like about what they were doing against some good opposition.
Yep. Queenscliff have gone fairly deep in a lot of the cricket grades in the Bellarine competition. Has that impacted on your boys at all?
Yeah, it has. Like, and it's great to see. The relationship between the cricket and footy is really good down there. There's been a lot of effort into getting that right, and a lot of our boys, being in a small town, play both. So we have missed quite a few where they've gone on and played cricket. So we'll get all those guys back this week, and we've had to train Tuesdays and Thursdays too. So they've missed, some of those boys have missed a little bit of training, but we'll fast track them over the next couple of weeks.
Yep. The team that plays Sorrento this week, is that pretty close to what you'll hopefully run out with against Drysdale on April 6th?
Maybe. Look, we've got a couple of guys that if any of them are a little bit sore or that sort of thing, we'd probably pull back on that a little bit. So we'll find out where they are tonight. And there's probably a couple of things that we want to try with a couple of blokes in last minute roles, just to have a look at it. So it'll be around the mark, maybe.
Yep. Daniel Dewar, how will you use him this year? He played a little bit up the ground last year. We know he can kick goals. What's the plan for the Frenchman?
He'll just rotate high and deep. Like, I think potentially a lot that he's played deep, but I really like seeing him high at the same time, because he's got a good turn of speed for a big fella, and he's very clean. So I think he's hard to match up on in both those areas. And with a couple of the tall boys around him that can play in a couple of those areas as well, helps us mix it up a little bit.
Yep. Tom Lim has been in the twilight of his career, it feels like, for a heck of a long time. One year's going to be his last year. Hopefully this is not it. But, gee, he still brings so much to your football team, doesn't he? Even at age, I'm guessing he's 32 now?
Yeah. He's got a good birthday date, actually, but 12th of March. So, but he was terrific last year. So wasn't sort of sure where he was going to be and what impact he'd have on the footy and those sorts of things. And we started him off on the outside trying to look after him, being a long season, but didn't take long for us to throw him straight back inside, and he had some real impact. Look, I mean, it's not... I mean, he's a hard runner, and he's so strong around the footy, but he just does all the 1% of things right. Like, he's tackling, his leadership and maturity out there is terrific, and he's obviously held in really high regard down at Queenscliff. So, yeah, you'd like a couple of Tommy Limbs, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody that's impressed you over pre-season, somebody that maybe just ran around at 12 o'clock in the development side and didn't really set the world on fire last year, but has, you know, worked their backside off and, you know, saying pick me in round one?
Yeah, look, Riley Martin's probably that player that comes to mind straight away. You know, his nickname's Dukes, and he's certainly showed us why is that. Like, he's very strong, Mark, and he's been, once he's got hold and understood our running patterns as a forward, he's been terrific, and in the first two practice matches, he's been spot on. So he's someone that has thrown his name a lot more forward than what we probably expected. So he'll be right in the mix. And then you got the old stalwarts like, you know, Shea Darren's been had a terrific preseason. I mean, this time last year we didn't have Jake Headley. He was out. Frenchie. So these guys have been training and we're getting some practice matches into them. So, you know, Jaden Doan's another one that was crook as we were coming into the season last year. So those sorts of guys have been got a good preseason under their belt, so it should be good.
Bowen Head's the team to beat.
I would have thought so on last year, and then the way that they've recruited, like, really well coached, and they've only added to that. So I would think so. I would think so, looking from now, looking into a crystal ball, you would think you'd have to go with them to start with, yeah.
It's going to be – there's going to be a couple of – there might even be four really good teams miss finals this year with good win-loss records. It's going to be that tight in the belt. Is this – and you've been around Ballarine footy – well, your family's been around Ballarine footy since basically the start back in the early 1970s, and you've been watching it for a long time. Is this as tight as you've ever seen it?
I think so. Like, before leaving there and being away for 11 years or whatever it was, look, it was, you'd always have the ladder was pretty much split in two most years. Like, you could almost pick who was going to be in the top five or five. The fifth and sixth team would fight it out. But, I mean, even last year, where you look at Newcombe, that I don't know whether they win two games, something like that, but they push a lot of teams right through till three-quarter time, yeah. Or they would have had three. So there was no real easy game, which is great from a footy point of view. So you can't really look at the draw. I mean, you look at the draw now and you look at not so much when you supposedly have a weaker one because they're not there, but more so, I suppose, how often or when you get that reprieve of playing the previous top teams in a row. I mean, the great thing about the Ballarine is you play everyone twice. And it's a real leveller because it certainly has affected GFL level, I reckon. But the Ballarine actually, by playing everyone twice, you get a good level.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of your results against Port Arlington last year, I know you kicked in accurately, but I think you only won by 2.5 goals in the end. So you've just got to be on guard.
Lucky we had 19 on. Was that the day we had 19 on there? Yeah. for all 2 seconds or whatever it was. But maybe that was the difference. But that might have been the one at Port potentially, where it was just a howling day, howling day of wind. And yeah, so it was a bit close.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that 19th man scenario. No, I don't think we need to rehash old ground, but we have, so that's fantastic. Drysdale, Newcombe, Ocean Grove, Bowen Heads is your opening month, Otis, including Ocean Grove, another old rival on Easter Saturday. Should be an absolute cracker. Should be a good crowd for that one.
Yeah, I reckon, obviously, Ocean Grove being a big town, there's going to be a lot of people there, and it's, even though we've lost that Easter game this year, obviously the supporters and so forth don't have to travel too far. So a lot of the people that camp in the caravan park might...
not far up Shell Road.
Might run some buses or something like that over there. So
absolutely. All right, it's always a pleasure to talk footy with you. We've been doing it for a heck of a long time, you and I. And good to have you at K-Rock to sit down and talk about Queenscliff ahead of season 2019. Best of luck for the year.
Good on you, Kingy. Thanks for that, mate.
Steve Clark, coach of the Queenscliff Footy Club, joining us as part of Season Countdown. And don't forget, thanks to Momentum Energy, you can be involved in K-Rock footy tipping. This year we are tipping on the AFL. We know it's underway, but you can get involved. First round, you'll get the away teams, GFL and BFL. And if you're a Queenscliff fan and you think you go right at tipping, make sure you nominate the Cooters as your club, because not only will you win $1,000 if you're our top tipster, but the Cooters will get $1,000 as well, which would be a great little reward for the Queenscliff Footy Club if you can win the tipping. Just find out more at carrockfootball.com.au and hit the footy tipping tab. Next in our Season Countdown series, going to catch up with one of Steve Clark's old mates, South Bowen coach Dave Farrell.